Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Carton and Roberts. Evan Roberts, Craig Carton, all the way to, 6:30 tonight. Phone number to join, as always, 877-337-6666. We got a great show for you today. We have WAG Wednesday at 5 o'clock. We got Darius Rucker wagon wheeling his way in sometime after 4 o'clock. And we got you on the phones. Good afternoon, Evan. How are you today, Ken?
Hi. I'm splendid. How are you?
You're splendid today, yeah?
I'm alive.
Why would you come in here in a splendid mood today?
Because I didn't die. I'm alive. I'm breathing. I get to work with you. I got two beautiful kids. I'm just, can I be happy once in a while?
Life is good right now for Evan Roberts. Is that what you're saying?
At about 9:30 when the Wizards are up by 25, man. I feel that way, but in this moment, I'm in a good mood. I'm happy.
Wizards, Nets, later tonight.
For you. I'll be on the edge of my seat cursing half the game, but okay.
It's funny. I was doing some soul searching today.
Yeah?
Driving into work. There's actually traffic today, which makes me think that's a good thing. Maybe people going back to work. But it wasn't a good thing. It was a New Jersey female driver who was probably texting or doing her nails in the car. And wound up going sideways, was in a ditch.
Oh.
And everyone stopped to look because she was hot.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if anyone's at work anymore. But I did some soul searching, Evan.
What did you find?
Well, I was sitting in traffic. And what I decided was... spring, or I guess late winter, whatever you want to call it, January, February, March. I guess that's late winter, right? What do you call it? Late winter, early spring.
Today?
No. Like just the period of time that is now until the weather changes.
The death of winter.
Yeah. I'm not sure if there's been a worse period sports-wise in my lifetime from a January, February, March perspective. I was thinking about it coming in. Like, I know my Jets, we're never in the playoffs, this deep into January.
Right.
So that's not a new thing for me, right? The Knicks, average at best, okay?
Right.
The Nets, you don't think they're going to win a championship, and who the hell cares in January anyway?
Sure.
Their season doesn't start until the playoffs,
knee
right?
Knee issue, so we don't even get to watch him every night, yes.
Baseball's currently in a lockout.
That's a big problem.
All right.
That's a big problem.
And I'm saying to myself, has it ever been worse? Now, I love this time of year usually.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to sit here and there is no, like, oh my God, what happened last night? I can't wait to talk about it tomorrow, right? And one topic takes over the entire radio station. So I usually love January, February, March, because you can get into a lot of other things.
Right.
And you can explore different parts of sport that maybe you wouldn't ordinarily explore, right? But I'm not sure if it's ever been worse. And I mean that. The New York Yankees got eliminated in a wild card game against the Red Sox. They've done nothing to improve themselves. The Mets have gotten better, but they're in a lockout, so who knows? Basketball, essentially dead, other than the Nets come playoff time. This is not a hockey town. All due respect to those of you that do like hockey, we are not a hockey town. Hockey is last of all the major sports.
Mm-hmm.
Football. Coming off another ridiculous, unbelievably bad football season. And then I look around and I see Kansas City, maybe going to their third consecutive Super Bowl. I see Green Bay, small market town, getting ready to maybe go, if they win this weekend, to their third consecutive NFC championship game, right? The Dodgers, Houston, Tampa. And I say to myself, maybe I've been living a lie. And I know what that's like because I lived a lie when it came to gambling. But maybe as a sports fan, Evan, I've been living a lie. So I'm sitting in the car today and I have an epiphany. And God struck me yet again on a drive on Route 78, this time going east, not west. We suck. We suck.
That hit you on January 19th, 2022.
Now, I want to be clear about this. I think we're the greatest people. I think we're superior in every possible way to people that come from any other part of the country. I think we're phenomenal human beings. But from a sports standpoint, not only is there nothing special about New York, we're not even top 10. We embarrass ourselves. And I believe right now, in the moment, this is the epiphany I had today. Mm-hmm. We are at the lowest we've ever been. Now, you could do the old prove me wrong routine. It's a big thing on the internet. Convince me I'm wrong. I'm not even asking for that. I don't even care if you want to discuss it. I had the epiphany, and I know I'm right. We're embarrassing. We claim to have the greatest basketball players on playgrounds in all the five boroughs. Yet, we haven't produced a college champion in how long, let alone an NBA champion, recognizing that those players come from other cities in America. Our high school teams don't win national championships. St. John's hasn't been to a Final Four in God knows how long. Our basketball teams haven't been to an NBA final in over a quarter of a century. Our baseball teams haven't won a World Series in over a decade, right? And I say to myself, maybe we've just been lying to ourselves. Maybe all this time that we tell the rest of the world New York is the greatest sports city on the planet, we stop for a minute and recognize we're not. There's nothing special about being a professional sports team in New York City, even if you play in New Jersey. Nothing. Nothing. We've embarrassed ourselves. And I think today is the day we put our foot down and say, as fans, we're not going to take it anymore.
Well, to quote Clint Capella, what you going to do about it?
What you going to do about it?
You root for a garbage basketball team. Baseball may never, ever start. Our football teams suck.
Right.
What are you going
to
do about
well,
it?
Well, I'm hoping to use the next 4.5 hours to figure that out.
Yeah.
Because I only had one epiphany. I didn't have two. I came up with the realization that we suck. I do not have the solution to end the sucking. I'm hoping that over the next 4.5 hours, the listeners of this program can help us out. But step one, and this is a very tough step for you to take, and I want to know, Evan, that you are ready to take that step. Are you willing to join me hand in hand, mano a mano, as brothers, and walk across that lava,
well,
acknowledging that we suck?
Here's the problem, Craig.
Yeah.
We live in an incredibly diverse city.
Yes, we do.
And by diverse, I mean there's a lot of teams in this city.
None of them are any good.
I'm a hopeful guy with some of the teams I root for.
You suck.
I root for a basketball team that, if God willing, the three superstars can play at the same time, can win an NBA championship. I root for a baseball team where if the commissioner and the players and the owners can get on the same page, I get to watch Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer 2 out of 5 days.
Keyword, IF, if.
No, if. Bro.
If.
I am filled with ifs. There's ifs all over my head. But I have hope. You, on the other hand, you're hopeless.
Hopeless. I am absolutely hopeless because I'm also not a hockey fan, and I know what the Rangers are doing.
And I'm not even mentioning the hockey in that the Islanders have been hopeless. A back-to-back semis. The Rangers have had a great season. I think that it depends on who you... Like, a Met fan doesn't feel hopeless. I'm sorry. I apologize. A Brooklyn Net fan, I know there aren't a lot of us. We may not be confident, but we are not hopeless.
Yeah.
So I apologize. I'd like to put my arm around you.
Hold my hand and walk down into the lava with me, Evan. Here's our reality. We suck. Not us. We're brilliant people. We're phenomenal people. We are superior to all other humans in the country. New Yorkers and Northeast folks are special. It's not our fault. Mm-hmm. So I want to be clear about this. You listening right now, I love you. You're fantastic. As the Brits would say, you're brilliant. Yes, but the
bloody teams... Bloody brilliant.
Bloody brilliant. but the teams we root for are embarrassing. And it dawned on me. I started thinking about it.
I thought you were thinking about it during the end of the Knick game last night. Maybe that's what
no,
hit
don't
you.
Get me started on that, because Tom Thibodeau's got to go.
Wow.
Yeah, Thibodeau's, I mean, embarrassing last night. Losing that game last night. And don't get me started on that. We'll get to that in a bit. Julius Randle's got to go. Thibodeau's got to go. Overrated, both of them. All right, but here's our reality.
Yeah.
Our reality is that the sports in this town suck. And I want to be clear. High schools, you suck. Colleges, you suck. Pros, you suck. We're the suckiest city in America. And I get no joy out of saying that because I love my hometown. And we as a people are phenomenal and we deserve better. We got the best playground players in the world. Where are they? Where are they? St. John's. Yeah. What's St. John's done? Rutgers is holding the candle right now for collegiate basketball.
Seton Hall is, actually.
Rutgers!
Seton Hall.
Let's go, Rutgers! Seton Hall. We got nothing. We got nothing. And I'm frankly tired of it. I don't know what the hell we can do about it, to be honest. But I'm going to lean on the fan base today because it's not about you people. You people are brilliant. It's about the teams we root for. You know, I go on shows all across the country talking about sports. And a lot of times talking about, you know, responsible gambling these days. And everybody asks me about, ooh, New York, New York, New York, New York. Yeah, I go, I shrug. I shrug, Evan. I've now become a shrugger. I never shrugged in my lifetime, and now I'm shrugging. Because I have no defense. You know, they say that the days of the sports superpowers are essentially done, that we're not going to see runs like we've seen up until recent years. And I say you're wrong. Kansas City is going to go to their third straight Super Bowl, at least AFC Championship game. Green Bay is most likely
going to
go
to their championship game.
Fourth straight AFC Championship game.
If they win, yes.
Third straight NFC Championship game. You know, the Astros, the Dodgers, Tampa, every single year, they're in it. And I'm sitting here in the greatest city in America, in the middle of January, and I'm saying to myself, why do we suck? Because you can't blame just one owner, and the Wilpons don't own the team anymore, so we can't all agree. Just let's yell and scream at the Wilpons.
That was always so much easier,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Our whipping boy is gone. The Giants suck. The Jets suck. The Yankees are not living up to Yankee expectations. The Mets, fingers crossed, but we don't know. The Knicks, embarrassing. The Nets, who knows? Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Certainly they're the closest right now based on when the next championship gets played. But who the hell knows? We were terrible. We're terrible. I'm embarrassed to be a New Yorker when it comes to our sports here. And I go all the way down to the high school level. All you moms and dads that think you're raising the next Willie Mays and Wayne Gretzky and Michael Jordan, guess what? Your kids suck. Your kids are, yeah, they suck. You're not raising the next great player. You know why? Because where is he? Where is that kid?
What happened? Yeah. Usually I'm the negative one and
where
you're
is
the
that kid?
Happy guy
well,
now.
My kid's the best lacrosse player in Long Island. Shove it up your ass.
Now all of a sudden, everybody sucks. You suck, you suck, yeah. You suck. This yeah. team sucks, this sucks.
Everybody sucks.
What happened? Just because you had traffic this
yeah,
morning,
I had traffic.
Epiphany is everybody's terrible?
Traffic epiphany. I think it goes back, frankly, to the deal we made with the Native Americans.
Really?
I do. I think that's coming back to bite us in the ass. We stole Manhattan from them, and there's some kind of curse, and that curse is never going to be lifted. I don't care how many casinos you give them. That curse is never going to be lifted.
I thought it was the curse of 1969, 1970, 1986. Like all the glory this city used to have that I got to be honest with you, I was too young or wasn't alive for.
I'm telling you, I hope you feel my pain today. I come in today in a good mood. I have a nice turkey provolone, Aunt Lydia peppers on it, feeling good. Watch Dateline, watch Maury Povich, watch Law & Order SUV, prepared the show, and then bang!
That's why you're depressed.
Right in my face. Bang!
It just hit me.
I got slapped right in the face. Smack! Right in the face with the reality that I live in and love a town that sucks when it comes to sports. Like, think about how much it sucks where we had to debate whether or not a soccer team that nobody gives a rat's ass about should be given a parade in the Canyon of Heroes because we haven't had one.
Because we're so desperate to have any kind of parade.
It's the longest streak we've had in New York City history without a well-deserved parade for somebody in the Canyon of Heroes.
Straight up decade now.
And I'm not counting the women's soccer team because they don't count.
No. Of our local professional sports teams, we are sitting and waiting around since Victor Cruz was still running against the Jets.
Yeah.
Since the second Super Bowl victory against the Patriots. That's kind of like the line of demarcation. Because the Yankees won a few years earlier. Since then, we are dealing with a Sahara Desert-like drought.
It's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed. I am. And let's share my embarrassment with me throughout the afternoon today. Maybe it'll be a feel-good kind of show. maybe misery, love, and company will make us all feel good. I don't know.
As much as I want to be supportive, I'm hopeful, man.
Hopeful. Yeah, you're hopeful for what?
I'm hopeful that the baseball lockout's going to end and the New York Mets are actually going to have a shot. Right. I'm hopeful that the three superstars will play together and they have a chance to win a title. Like, I'm not saying all that's going to happen, Craig. Yeah. I want to make that clear.
Yeah.
There's a chance that in the middle of May, I'll be saying exactly what you're saying now.
I got a phone number for you to call.
I'm hopeful, man.
1-800-SUCKER. It's the same line I've been calling for 50 years of my life.
I'm a sucker,
man. Ooh, this is going to be the year. Ooh, you know, the Knicks were the 4 seed last year, and we went out and got Kemba and Evan Fournier. We're going to be the 3 seed this year and actually win a playoff series. Ooh, we got Robert Saleh, the sexy coach we all wanted.
Zach Wilson's the next Dan Marino.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, what are we doing? Ooh, this is going to be a great, you know, Joe Judge, the end of the year winning 5 out of 8.
That's
going to be phenomenal.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yuck. Yuck. Well, you know, my kid's a star basketball player on his high school, and they won the counties 2 years in a row. Yeah. Look who they're playing. Other average New York kids. I mean, what are we doing? We'll get your calls. I don't know. I don't know anymore. Live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Matter of fact, Tommy's in Amityville. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. Tommy, what do you got, buddy?
So basically, you're missing out on some high school sports.
Yeah, go ahead. Let me hear.
Men's Amityville soccer, state champs.
Great. State champs. Did they beat anybody outside the state? No.
Right. I don't even know.
And let me tell you something about Amityville, if I may. So I used to run and I used to have a travel soccer program, okay? So I had a bunch of kids here from Manhattan and North Jersey who played with my son. So I put together a little travel team just to have a little fun. This got to be 6 or 7 years ago, okay, when Sonny was maybe 12 years old. I put together such a badass soccer team that it was embarrassing. His buddies who were good soccer players. So we went to Amityville. There was a big summer tournament in Amityville. So I call up the tournament director. How you doing, Craig Carton? I've got a team. They're really a very good team. So can you do me a favor? We were playing in a 12U8. We're 11-year-old kids, right? 12-year-old kids. I go, do me a favor. Like, do you have levels? He goes, we're the greatest soccer program in all the world.
No, they're cocky.
And I go, listen, I go, we're a really good team. I don't want to go there and embarrass anybody. Can you put us 2 years up? Let us play against the 14-year-olds. Because I knew this team was like, it was stupid, right? He goes, we can handle any 12U team you have. I go, all right. I go, but I just want to be clear. Will you please tell the parents before the tournament that I specifically requested not to play in this age group. I requested to play 2 years up because that's how good I thought this team was I brought, okay? Oh, Carton, you don't know what you're talking about. Amityville soccer, greatest soccer program in the state. I go, okay. So we go there.
6-0.
6-0.
was I too
six?
Low? 8-0?
Evan, to start this, you play soccer as 11 on 11.
Right.
Just so in case people don't know. 11
and you kick,
players.
And you kick with both legs, I heard.
11 players versus 11 players. Yeah. Funny. Yeah. Good call.
Thank you.
All right. We started the second half. I only put 7 players on the field.
Huh.
The final score was 18-0.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, It was stupid, but that's my point. Everybody in New York thinks that they're raising the next great player. Memo to all of you, your kids aren't that good.
You all suck. Sorry.
Out of all the millions of people watching and listening right now, there might be a single family mm-hmm. that's got a kid that's good enough to get a scholarship to play Division I sports.
Listen, man, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, my kid, you don't know about Buff and Mim. You know about Buff. He's a great lacrosse player. Yo, yeah. He's getting Division I scholarship to Hopkins, Maryland, Syracuse. So shut your trap, Carton. Okay.
Are you sure? Because this morning, before I took Jet to the bus, we played one-on-one basketball, and yeah. He had a mean crossover.
There you go. All right, we'll get your calls. But I'm glad the guy from Amityville called, because that was the town. We went there, won every game by 20 goals, and it wasn't fun. And it wasn't good for anybody.
Those kids had a little bit of fun. No?
No. Like, you want competition. I was so upset about that. I told you.
Did they apologize and say maybe we should have given you the 14-year-olds?
We didn't realize. I told you. I had a group of special kids who could play better than everybody else. And I warned you about it, you morons. Anyway. We suck. That's the theme of the day is we suck, and I'll be the suck captain, okay? So I'll put it on myself.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
My main man, who I've not spoken to in some time because I don't know if he's still mad at me or not for blowing off the golf tournament, Darius Rucker joins us. Darius, Craig, and Evan Roberts here on The Fan in New York City. How you been, buddy?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing well. I told Evan that when Boomer and I went down to do our show from your golf tournament the week after the Masters years ago, we left early, as you know, and I thought maybe that was something that you might still be upset about. So I just want to clear the air and be a man here and say, I'm sorry. I was hungover and didn't want to play.
I accept your apology, and I understand that. That happens at that tournament.
You damn right it does.
Were you deeply pissed off at the time, honestly?
No, he wasn't.
No, we understand that, man. We totally understand that. We go pretty hard at that tournament.
And Craig should be pissed off, because the part of the story that boggles my mind is he was going to play golf with the nature boy, Ric Flair, and he turned that down. Like, what kind of moron would turn that down?
That's crack smoking right there. Yeah, you got to do that.
Yeah, well, I've made some other bad decisions in my life, too. Not just that. Anyhow, congrats on the Fanatics deal. We'll get to that in a second for sure. And thanks for sending me the Jets shirt. I'm trying to, I just said to Evan that, you did something in your career that I don't think has really been done since you go back to, like, the 1960s. I said, Diana Ross leaving the Supremes and having a successful solo career. Smokey leaving the Miracles, having a successful solo career. When you decided to break up, the Blowfish, and then ultimately go out on your own and do a country album, what level of fear was there? Can I be as successful by myself as I was with this amazing band?
Oh, I didn't call it. One of the other guys called it.
Really?
So they didn't want to be in a tour. So they didn't want to be in a touring band anymore. And so I decided I was going to go to Nashville. But to be honest with you, at the time, there weren't any African-Americans in country music. There wasn't really any pop guys in the country music doing anything. So I didn't expect much success at all. I was just glad I got a record deal and somebody else was paying for my record.
That's fine.
Did you always love country, or was it simply, I'm going to try this because of what you said? Or was it something that you loved even before that?
Oh, I've always loved it. Ever since I was a kid. Growing up, he always big for me as a kid, Kenny Rogers. It was just, I was a big music guy, and I loved it, and I thought it was great. I really didn't think about singing it until probably the late 80s when I heard Foster and Lloyd. That's when I was like, I want to sing this someday. But, I've always been a huge fan.
Talking to Darius Rucker, he's got this great deal with Fanatics. He has a whole collection of clothes, outerwear, T-shirts, fleece, sweats, and more. The other day, I was rocking the flannel that actually Darius is wearing now with the Jet logo on it, which is awesome. And if you're a sports fan, definitely go to Fanatics.com and check out the Darius Rucker collection. It's funny. You guys were like the go-to band for ESPN for a while. And it kind of went, like when Joe Montana was in the league, it was always, what's he recall it? Oh, why am I blocking on it? Help me out. Someone working on the show's got to help me out.
What's the question?
Joe Montana was tight with a band from California.
Oh,
Too hip to be square. Hip.
Huey Lewis in the News.
Yeah.
Huey Lewis in the News.
Right. So Huey Lewis and the News were like the go-to band in the 80s. And then Hootie and the Blowfish became the go-to band after that. And you guys were always on ESPN. I'm like, there's no way my man's a Dolphin fan and a Mavericks fan and a Reds fan. He's confused. Now you have Dolphin team that just fired their head coach, and New York Giant fans want Brian Flores to be their coach. What are your thoughts on that whole situation?
Oh, if the Giants get Flores, I think they'll be doing great. I think he's a great coach. I mean, I understand didn't work in Miami for whatever reasons they have, and I'm sure they got reasons, but I think he's a great coach. I think his next stop, he's going to be successful.
Yeah, talking to Darius, I see a whole bunch of guitars behind you. Do you have a go-to guitar, like your favorite guitar? Is there one that stands out or no?
I got this little Martin over here that I play a lot. That it's older, and I pick it up, and I go with that a lot. But I play all these, you know, when I'm writing songs and stuff.
I'm curious. Being around Craig for a year, I've noticed, and I think this kills him inside when he gets it. We'll be around, and someone will go to him and say, "Hey, Craig, I didn't love you in the morning, but I love you now." And while it's a compliment, I could see and it bothers Craig.
I do get that.
Do you ever get that, and would that piss you off if someone says, "Hey, you know what? I didn't like Hootie and the Blowfish, but man, I love you now." Would that bother you? Would you say, "Yeah, I appreciate that"?
No, you know, I've heard it the other way too. You know, I've heard, you know, "I love you, Hootie." I don't really get it now.
You know, so, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do.
I don't bother me. I always, every time somebody asks me advice, I ask him what the biggest selling record of all time was. And I think it's right now it's the Eagles' Greatest Hits. And I think they're sold like 31 million copies of that. And you know what that means? That means that 290 million people didn't like it.
Right. You know, I asked
it doesn't bother me.
I asked Bon Jovi this question years ago, and I asked you the same thing. You know, every songwriter or young undiscovered act or band or group, whatever it may be, you know, wants to make it big, wants that record deal, wants to hear their song on the radio and tour that song and have, you know, 30,000, 20,000 people screaming, you know, people know every single word for it. And then there comes a point where you want to put out another album, but people only want to hear the songs they know, the hits. And I once asked Bon Jovi this. I said, "Do you ever feel like you become a prisoner of your own success?" And he was like, "Yeah, in a way, because, you know, he put out a country album, but no one wanted to hear it. We wanted to hear Slippery When Wet." And I wonder, at any point, did you guys feel that way, or did you feel that way, where if you didn't play a certain song, people got pissed at a concert, and you became a prisoner to the song?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those first four songs on our first record, we were prisoners of those. We have to play those songs every night. If we don't, you know, people complain and people are angry. And, I mean, I understand it. You know, I mean, they also afford you to play all those other 22 songs you're playing. So, you know, you do it. And we're not that band, and I'm not that guy who doesn't like to play a set show. I like to play them. I love the reaction. I love how happy it makes the crowd. So, definitely prisoners to the success.
How did you hook up with Fanatics? What's the background? You one day just woke up, had this epiphany for type of clothing you liked and called Michael Rubin up and said, "Let's do it," or something else?
I wish, you know, they gave me a call, and I love the idea so much. And I'm such a huge NFL fan. I couldn't believe that, you know, my logo was going to be next to the NFL's. And so for me, when I was asked, it was a no-brainer. I would have done whatever they wanted me to do. So I'm just excited to be a part of it. And I'm excited to be a part of anything with the NFL on it. And you know, I love all the clothes. I wear them all the time. I think they're great. So this has been a cool thing for me.
And it's been successful. I mean, you only launched in November. You've been a top 10 selling apparel brand on Fanatics, which is the go-to for all sports, licensed sports gear. So it's one thing for you to make it and you like it, or your buddies or family like it. People like it. Like, people you'll never meet in your life decided they like your brand. That's got to be as satisfying as a hit record, I would think.
Oh, that is pretty. It's so satisfying when people come on social media and then, you know, "I just got the fleece," or "I just got this jacket," or "I just got this." And they show me pictures of them in it. I just think that's awesome. And like you said, man, you know, this is my line, and seeing people that I'll probably never meet buy it and like it as much as they do is pretty awesome.
Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this when you were younger, but you and I had a connection that you'll never remember, nor should you remember. I want to be clear. I'm not calling you out on it. I want to go back we're going to go back now to 1995, 96, okay?
Wow.
I'm
okay.
living.
I don't remember much about that, but okay.
I'm living in Philadelphia doing sports talk radio in Philly, and I become really good friends with a kid from South Carolina. We become roommates. We hit it off, and his best friend growing up is a guy that just put out an album, and it's a really good album, and it's starting to get some play, and the first hit from that album has a guest appearance by Darius Rucker. And I'm like, no way. I go, I'm a huge fan of Darius and Hootie. You guys are just becoming like a huge mega group. And his buddy comes up to Philly. We spend the weekend together. And he goes, I'll get Darius on the phone right now. He never got you on the phone. But the name of the song was Solitude. And, of course, we're talking about Edwin McCain. Yeah. That's
absolutely.
Right. How did that come about? Did you guys, you didn't grow up together, but you must have been in the same circuit playing together, yeah?
Yeah, we played tons together. We actually gave Edwin a start. We saw him playing at the Tiki Hut in Hilton Head and just freaked out at how great he was. And as soon as we started making it, we took him on tour with us and he got a record deal and stuff. And he's my brother. I just think he's one of the most talented people I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, he's been through it pretty good, but came out the other side aces and is doing great.
Oh, yeah.
And is a good guy. And I've experienced, you know, with addiction now myself, so I have great respect for people that come through it and kick its ass and still, you know, live a life worth living. He's one of those guys who I have a great admiration and respect for. But I remember hearing, you know, Solitude for the first time, and I go, Darius Rucker, no way. He's like, yeah, that's my guy. That's my guy. I get him on the phone. He's like, no problem. I'll get him on the phone right now. An hour later, you never picked up.
That's funny.
Yeah. All right, before we let you go, music wise what's coming up next? I know you had Beers and Sunshine. We got another single coming out or no?
Yeah, I'm working on one right now. We're gonna be putting some out here in the next month or so, and hopefully my record comes out in the spring or something like that. I'm finishing it up right now, and you know, I got my tour. I got my theater tour that I'm starting in February through March, so I'm looking forward to that a lot.
How good is it to be back on tour after the pandemic and not being able to do that for so long?
Awesome. You know, we Hootie's doing this thing in Cancun, and, you know, you have a small minority of people yelling, don't play, and, you know, you got everybody going, if you don't play it, I'm going to kill you. I got a babysitter. So it's been a crazy decision to have to make, but I'm glad I didn't have to make it.
Well, listen, I know the tour is going to hit New York at some point this spring. So when you do, we'd love to see you in person and swing by and say hi. And a continued success, not just musically, but with the clothing line over at Fanatics. And anytime I can return the favor, you know, count me in. And it's always good seeing you, pal.
Great talking to you guys too. Y'all take care.
Last thing before you go. Last thing.
Yeah.
Who's your Super Bowl prediction? Let me hear it.
That's a tough one. For my boy, I'm going to go Green Bay. And this is my upset. Green Bay and the Bills.
Green Bay, Buffalo, and the winner is?
Green Bay.
All right.
Yeah, Buffalo's going to blow.
Little chalk there. We'll let it go. ID, be good. Be good, pal. Talk to you. We'll see you when you come to New York, okay?
Take care, you guys.
See you later.
Darius Rucker, better known to a lot of you, is, of course, Hootie and the Blowfish. And you can check out his clothing line, the Darius Rucker Collection on Fanatics. And all good. Good dude.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Brittany, it's Craig and Evan in New York City. How you doing?
Hey, guys. How are you? Not too bad. I see you guys on the Zoom right now.
Yeah, well, I don't see you. I wish I could. But I do not. I'm going to try to click it again one more time. Of course, they haven't sent me a new link in a month. But let's see if I can download it now. Anyhow, where in the country are you right now?
So we do a lot of traveling, but I'm currently in the Massachusetts area, which is my home state, visiting some friends and family because I haven't been back here since Thanksgiving. And it's very cold. Very, very cold.
Yeah,
like it is in New York.
I'm with you. So you and your husband, or your fiance now, you and Ryan Dahl, you guys don't make your off-season home in Tampa or somewhere where it's nice and warm? Like, why are you in the Northeast?
I love that you are foreshadowing for us. So actually, 2 weeks ago, we were just in Florida for New Year's Eve. We went down there with some friends and family. We took our dog Decker there as well. We did some house hunting. So eventually, we do want to own a house in Florida. So say good jujus and good vibes for us.
You're not going to do it based on his baseball career right now in the moment, so you better start making some of that influencer money.
It's true.
Yeah.
Especially with the lockout.
Yeah, so Ryan's like an independently ball player now, if I have that right. But obviously he's out, you know, he's played in the pros. Obviously he had a cup of coffee with the Yankees, and he's a right-handed pitcher. And, you know, he's gotten a couple opportunities to do it. But where is he now? Is the career over? Is he done? Are you now the responsible breadwinner in this family? And what's he doing, fishing all day? Like, what's he got going on?
So right now he is currently a free agent. Obviously, I don't have to talk about the lockout. We know what's going on.
Sure.
He is actively working out, and we have some teams that are sort of talking to him. We can't say who they are. So we are wishful thinking that when the lockout ends, that we do get some more bites.
All
right. Yes, he is actively working out. He is not retiring. And he's still going to be the breadwinner, but I do make my own money too.
Yes.
So let's not put it past him.
Are you his agent right now? It sounded that way. Are you representing him right now?
I feel like the wives and girlfriends are kind of like their guys' agents a little bit, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you rep him better than anybody else, you know, because you know him and you love him. So you're going to tell us that he's going to be the best reliever in baseball this year.
Most of these agents represent like 500 different people, yeah. So they don't have that same emotional interest as you're going to have when you're in a meeting with Brian Cashman saying, look, here's why I got to give my man another opportunity. Here's why. He did this, 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 and this.
So how did you guys originally meet? Were you a fan of his? Were you on like Bumble or Tinder? And bumped in, like, how did that whole thing go?
So kind of an interesting story. My background is also in sports entertainment. Obviously, Ryan's a professional baseball player. One random weekend, he happened to be in town visiting some of his former teammates. Obviously, he was with the Oakland Athletics for a number of years with their organization. One of his best friends is also from the Boston area. So again, he came out here to visit them. Guys, to this day,
I have
Celtics ticket. So we met each other at this Celtics game right here, and I wanted to show you guys.
Yeah.
Just by chance, I got invited to that Celtics game by a couple of friends. We met. We all went to a Boston club after, and then 2 weeks later, he slid in my DMs, and the rest is history. Now I got a ring in my.
Congratulations on getting engaged. I'm telling you, those DMs, Evan, they're a dangerous place to be, boy.
Did you ever ask him his ERA while you were talking to him for the first time, breaking down like what he's accomplished as a baseball player?
So believe it or not, again, with me having the whole sports entertainment background, I wanted to make sure that I got to know him outside of baseball. So even now, I have not fully ever Googled him because I want to look at him as Ryan, my boyfriend, or Ryan, the fiance, or at the time, Ryan, my best friend, and not that I'm with a professional athlete. So, no, I did not ever look up his ERA.
Yeah, you may not want to do that. You may want to avoid that right now. I would not
recommend. We will.
I just did it for the first time also, and I was like, no wonder I never heard of that guy. I'm just teasing. And listen, so how many other girls did he DM that night? And like, what if you didn't respond first? Like, have you ever thought about that?
Okay, so it's funny that you asked that as well, because again, being out at a club, I was like, babe, why did I stick out of all the other girls that were there? And he's a very shy, quiet person. And he was like, no, I didn't DM anybody else. And I actually got a good word from Tucker, who again, happens to be his best friend that he was visiting while in the Boston area. So according to him, but I mean, he could be lying because we know how athletes can be, wink, wink.
Yeah.
He says he only DMs me, but who really knows?
So there's apparently an interesting story about how he proposed to you. Please tell me it's not baseball related.
No, it is not baseball related. So ironically enough, again, we met on January 11th.
Okay.
And our dog's birthday is January 1st. So I kept on hinting at him, hey, I think you should maybe propose around the new year, because we, at the time, already had our wedding venue set up. The reason for that is with baseball season, as you guys know, you don't know if you're going to be in indie ball with an MLB team. You don't know if you're going to be in the minor league. So your schedule is kind of all over the place. So non-traditionally, we actually booked our wedding venue before actually being engaged, and we custom created this engagement ring back in October around his birthday. So he proposed actually on New Year's Day. It was super sweet, right at our Airbnb, very nice by the pool. And then we all went out for hibachi afterwards.
See, so that's the life, by the way, that is the life of a minor league ball player. I propose to my girlfriend and we go to Benihana to celebrate.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that is the perfect, like, for everyone that gets pissed off about, you know, the guys making $30, $40 million a year. There are far more stories of the guys that are this close to making it who are living on, you know, a busman's budget, basically, right? Like, we celebrated at hibachi. I got a shrimp thrown in my mouth, and it was all good. It was like that.
Well, I mean, well, to your point, I mean, Ryan has made decent money. Obviously, he spent a good amount of time in the big leagues as well. But I will bring up to your point, a lot of people, the media will portray that everybody makes $30, $40 million a year, right. And that is not the case. There's some people that are making the minimum, which is still good money, $500,000, $600,000, whatever the case may be. But when you're an actual minor league ball player just starting out, you're making like
nothing,
$1,200 a week, and you're living with four or five other guys. Obviously, he's past that point.
Yep.
But you guys are correct.
No, but there's a lot of stories. You know, Cody Decker, who's a dear friend, talks about that a lot. And one of the negotiating aspects of this current lockout, apparently, is making sure that MLB owners do right by minor league players that they have no really reason or connection to. But because these guys are living really lives of poverty in their attempts to make it to the pros, they want MLB, the Players Association does, they want Major League Baseball owners to kick over X amount of dollars to at least make sure that minor leaguers, you know, can live in a decent place. Because a lot of these towns, because of COVID, as I'm sure Ryan would tell you if you don't know already, a lot of guys that are lower level minor league players, they live in like a host house. You know, there's a local family that takes in players for the course of a minor league season. And when COVID hit, they stopped doing that because of, you know, health safety. So there's a lot of these guys, Evan, and I say this to you as well, Brittany, who are like four guys in a motel room, you know, because they're not making any money. So part of this negotiation, I've been told, is trying to set aside money so that minor leaguers can have a normal life.
The commissioner and the owners for how well they've treated minor league players.
Well,
over
but
the years.
They're not responsible for minor league players.
Yeah, well, they did cut down how many minor league teams.
It's like
a few
Gene Upshaw always said.
They did
I don't
cut
represent
down,
draft picks. I don't represent retired players.
They did
players.
Cut down how many minor league teams a few years ago.
Meanwhile, you should know this.
Yes, exactly.
Evan.
Don't answer that. Because you know it's not good. She knows what I'm talking about, but okay.
Your fiance is also in the Hall of Fame. He's in Cooperstown.
Yes.
You may have overheard me asking my producer, how is Ryan Dahl possibly in the Hall of Fame? And then they told me it's a really kind of interesting way to have your jersey in Cooperstown. Do you know why he's in there?
Yeah, so he actually holds the record for the most consecutive inherited runners left on base, and that number is 36. I have not been able to go see that jersey yet in Cooperstown, but apparently it happened on July 4th back in 2016 when he was with the Oakland Athletics.
So that means he came into a game. Evan, let me explain this to you.
Yes, please.
He came into a game. There's a dude on base. He didn't let that guy score. And he has the Major League Baseball record, 36 consecutive men on base.
You know
that
who
did
he
not
broke
score.
The record off?
Yes, I do. Babe Ruth.
Not quite.
Yeah,
that's a good guess.
You're not, it wasn't Babe Ruth?
No, listen. It was
I
a guy
no
who
idea.
Pitched, a relief pitcher who pitched for the Mets many a few years ago.
No, who was it?
Guy by the name of Frank Francisco, who's most famous for throwing a chair into the stands, if I'm not mistaken.
There you go. And
sounds like an angry guy.
He was angry. And while we watched him pitch, we became very angry. I remember that.
So you started dating Ryan after he was a Yankee, yeah?
Correct. So I was not with him at all while he was in the minor leagues as far as like working his way up. I was not with him when he was with the Athletics or the Yankees. So we actually started dating right around during the pandemic. So I think that's why our relationship is a little bit stronger, because with there being no minor leagues, we during 2020 got to spend a lot of time together. Obviously, he was still actively working out and such. But we got a lot of one-on-one time. And then flash forward, he was with the Seattle Mariners organization this past season. So we actually lived together in the state of Washington, and that was a lot of fun. I got to road trip
both
to and from the East Coast to the West Coast, and that was an experience I will never forget.
During the pandemic, did you get a catcher's mitt out and say, all right, I got, you know, we're not allowed to be around people. I'll warm you up. Do you ever do that?
F that.
I never did because I'm pretty sure I probably would have lost all of my teeth because I'd be too afraid. But I did used to go watch him warm up. And one of the coolest things I will mention for those of you guys that are listening to this radio show right now, if you ever have the opportunity to stand behind, like in the second base or shortstop position behind a professional baseball pitcher, that hum that comes off the ball is like one of the coolest sounds I have ever heard. So if you ever get the opportunity to do that, Craig and Evan, totally go out and do it.
My balls hum too, guys here. The guys here all know about that. I'm actually famous. I'm famous for having a humming ball. But yeah, I've been around a long time. I'm a little bit older. Before I let you go, you were on MTV's Are You the One? So was that show like you're trying to find like your husband on like an island, one of those types of shows?
Correct. So I was on MTV's Are You the One long time ago. It was like back in 2014. I was like in my 20s. But yeah, so it was one of those typical like dating shows. We lived in Hawaii. Obviously did not find the one because now I'm with Ryan. And I was on another show called MTV's The Challenge, which was more of an athletic challenge type TV show. And that was awesome.
All right. Well, listen, now you've had some TV success. Now, I'm sure with the internet, you're doing a lot of stuff there. If people want to see what you're up to. Oh, by the way, have you become really tight with other really attractive wags, your wives and girlfriends of other players? Because we'd love to use your connect to get to, you know, like we're going after like the creme de la creme now. And maybe you can advance our efforts there.
Yes, I could definitely help you guys out because for those of you that are listening, I actually have my own lifestyle sports podcast. It's called The Boss Babes, BOSBABES, Boss with one S, like Boston, obviously, where I'm from. On that podcast, again, it's a lifestyle sports podcast. I talk to professional athletes, their wives and girlfriends, which is where I can help you guys out, and other reality TV competitors. And the whole show is basically like a behind-the-scenes look into their charity, their entrepreneurship, if they are working with any type of what they're doing after retirement or if they're still playing a sport. So if you guys are interested, that's on Spotify and iTunes. But aside from that podcast, yes, I can hook you guys up with other wives and girlfriends.
In your experience, how many of these girls try to get knocked up as quickly as possible? Because that's what I would do. Like if I was really hot and a woman, I would do the same thing and I would try to get impregnated as quickly as possible.
Oh my gosh. So Ryan and I joke around about that all the time. I'm like, how many baby mamas out there are like just trying to lock down a guy?
Right.
For whatever X, Y, and Z reason, yes, you guys are hitting the nail on the head. People are weirdos like that. But if you're trying to land an athlete or any guy, that is not the way to do it, girls. Wait till you get the ring on your finger and do it the proper way.
No
I'm just
joke.
Saying.
I think I would have like 15 kids if I was a hot girl. I would.
With how many different athletes?
I have 13. Yeah, 13.
After you have your kids, sometimes you're not as hot after, so then
whatever.
You're not really hot anymore if you have 15 kids.
I would be pregnant as often as possible. Well, Brittany, appreciate you coming on. Say hi to Ryan for us, and if you're in New York at any point, swing by and say hi, and continued success, and good luck with the podcast. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
The New York Giants have put in a request to interview blank for their head coaching job. Now, what's interesting about this, and I'll fill in the blank in a second, they did it before hiring a GM.
Right, in which the general manager is supposed to have full autonomy on picking who the head coach is.
So the New York Giants have reached out and asked permission to interview a head coaching candidate, and they did it without the GM's input because they don't have a GM right now.
Right.
Who do you think it is?
Kellen Moore or Dan Quinn?
Well, you got to pick one, don't you?
Well, one of them, because the Cowboys just got eliminated.
The New York Giants have put in a request
to interview.
I'll tell
you this, Giant fans do not... I can't speak for all Giant fans.
Yeah.
Giant fans have no interest in Dan Quinn.
Well, the New York Giants have put in a request to interview Dan Quinn for their head coaching job. You're a diehard Giant fan. Do you want Dan Quinn to be your head coach?
No!
877-337-6666. This is why fans lose faith in a franchise. They announced that they were going to hire a general manager and allow that general manager to hire a head coach. They're still interviewing general managers, and they've asked for permission to interview a head coach. How does that work? And why would you ask to interview a guy that no Giant fan wants here? Right? That's why fans get ticked off.
You know whose fault it is?
Not mine.
Chris Maris, clearly.
Yeah, of course. It's got to be Chris Maris' fault. We'll get your take on it right after this.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
The New York Giants have put in a request to interview Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn. They are doing that without having a general manager in place yet, which goes against everything they said they were going to do. They also must believe that whoever they do hire as general manager is going to be a fan of Dan Quinn's, and because of the influx of teams that have now requested to interview Dan, they don't want to lose out on an interview.
That's why I'm going to stand up and defend the New York Football Giants. While I don't want Dan Quinn to coach this team, and I give you reasons why whenever, here's why it's not a big deal. They're on their second round of interviews. I doubt they're requesting to interview a coach who's on none of those guys' lists.
Yeah, they probably already asked, who do you like?
That's number one. So Dan Quinn is probably a popular name, not just amongst other NFL teams, which is true, but amongst the GMs they're talking to. That's number one. Number two, they made a request to interview him.
Yes.
They're going to hire their GM in the next 72 hours. They're not going to interview him until the GM is hired. So the idea that the GM is not going to make this decision, that's not true. The GM is still in line to make this decision. Requesting an interview doesn't mean you're going to hire the guy.
Yeah, but it's still a bad look considering you haven't hired the GM yet, opinion.
Take a step back from the bad look. I just gave you reasons why it shouldn't be a bad look.
Well, I still think it's a bad look. I understand the concept behind it. You know, it's like Dan Quinn, you know, part of it's that I don't want Dan Quinn.
Well, I definitely don't want Dan Quinn. So what's your reasons, by the way?
You're going after a guy, well, because there's a guy I do want. You're going after a guy that I don't think the Giant fan base really wants.
No, I agree with you on that.
So you lose Dan Quinn. Okay.
No, but it's more about let's put the request in. A few of the GM candidates we're talking to, and by the way, I do have a preference now among the GM candidates based on the research I've done. Which is what? Reading about them? No, but I have a real reason, which I think you'll buy. They're interested in him. So you're just making sure that once this one of these GMs is in place, that you've got that interview scheduled. Now, I don't want Dan Quinn. I've got a myriad of reasons for it. I don't think most Giant fans want Dan Quinn. The one thing he does bring to you is experience. He did coach Atlanta to the Super Bowl. But one of my big concerns about him is that that was, in a lot of ways, a Kyle Shanahan story.
Fair enough.
Like, when they got to the Super Bowl that year, and forget the Super Bowl and the way they blew it. I'm not even talking about that. They had the number one offense in the NFL. When Kyle Shanahan left, they did not have the number one offense in the NFL.
Right.
They didn't have a top five offense in the NFL. There was a big difference when Shanahan walked out that door. And based on what he's done as a head coach, I think we'd admit, guy knows what he's doing.
Clearly, yes.
Yeah. He's also made some decisions in the past, including that one decision when he kicked a field goal on fourth and goal from the one, down by four with 2.5 minutes to go, that leaves you saying, what? I don't want this guy coaching my team.
Well, I tell you why I don't want him. Because I want the package. And what I mean by the package
is... I heard you do.
Yes. I want the GM that wants Brian Flores because Brian Flores wants Deshaun Watson. Like, I think the New York Giants are in a position that they will never find themselves in again.
Mm-hmm.
They can get a coach that the fan base will like from Jump Street.
Right.
And at the very same time, they can go get a top five, top six, wherever you want to put them, a generational talent at quarterback. Like, this doesn't happen all the time. You know, and it's going to cost you draft picks to get them, obviously, and so what? So I think whatever GM thinks the most of Brian Flores,
mm-hmm.
because to me, Brian Flores is the easiest and most direct connection, based on what I believe, to Deshaun Watson.
So you're making this decision squarely based on Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, because I have a chance to go get the quarterback.
Well, I got good news.
Yeah.
The GM I think they should hire.
Go ahead.
Has a link to Brian Flores. Well, now, that's not the reason I think they should hire him, but we'll at least be together for different reason. I think they should hire Ryan Poles as their general manager. Now, his link to Brian Flores is Boston College, that they have that connection together.
Okay.
The reason I want to hire him, and I think this will appeal to Giant fans, the Kansas City Chiefs are one win away from an AFC championship game. You know what they pulled off this year that's incredible?
Go.
They lost the Super Bowl because of their offensive line. They changed their entire offensive line.
Yeah.
They did it by drafting a center in the second round. They did it by drafting a right tackle in the sixth round. They did it by signing a big-time, big-money free agent, Joe Thuney. They did it by trading for Orlando Brown Jr.
Right.
They literally, in one offseason, listen to this, Giant fans, one offseason, went from having an offensive line that cost Patrick Mahomes to having a top five offensive line in the league.
Yep.
And they did it in one offseason.
Yep.
And I just laid out how. Sixth round pick, second round pick, a trade, and a free agent signing. Ryan Poles was an offensive lineman. Now, look, I don't know if he directly brought all those guys in,
right,
but the most appealing thing I would want, if I'm a Giant fan, is a guy who can actually do what Dave Gettleman said he would do, and that's fix an offensive line. And based on the resume in Kansas City, based on his history, that appeals the most to me. And good news, Craig, he's got ties to Brian Flores.
I want I want the GM that gets me Brian Flores, and Brian Flores gets me Deshaun Watson. And overnight, you're the best team in the division. Overnight.
Well,
that's
let's,
it.
Let's, you
know, overnight.
I don't.
You're a playoff team overnight. Have a rare opportunity.
Let's take a deep breath.
Let's go with it. You have a rare opportunity.
They're a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, here's John in Danbury, Connecticut. Johnny, what do you got?
I am concerned already about the Giants doing what the Giants have done, because they're already acting, they're already going out and requesting permission for these coaches, and it's like they're trying to pick where the biggest losers are in the NFL and say, who could coach our franchise and change this around, even though they're following the same footprint or the same blueprint that they followed previously.
They're not, though. But here's the good news, John. I don't think they are. I mean, I think they are literally, because they're apparently telling these general managers, you're running the show.
It's your team.
So just because they made a request, and I understand what Craig is saying, what you're saying about the timing, it doesn't look good, are they hiring the head coach? They're just getting a jump on who's going to be able to interview. The general manager, whomever it is, and I laid out who I think it should be, but none of these candidates are bad candidates. None of us are going to scream and yell about who they hire as GM. Because the truth is, other than the research we do about them, we don't really know.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're doing things the exact same way. I don't. I think they're hiring a general manager, and I think they're going to let that GM sink or swim.
Yeah. I'm also, I don't know, this is just an aside, Jason Garrett's name hasn't been mentioned for any job. Not even offensive coordinator.
Why should it?
Yeah, you know, I would think if Ben McAdoo's getting a look in Carolina to be an offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett's got to get
some
interviews.
Ben McAdoo is a tremendous offensive coordinator for Eli Manning. He was.
Yeah, he was.
Okay. What did Jason Garrett do as offensive coordinator?
Well, look what they did when he left.
Yeah, they played backup quarterbacks.
I'm just saying, it wasn't his fault.
It wasn't one-on-one. Like, you weren't comparing the exact same offense with Jason Garrett and Freddie Kitchens.
I wonder if Kellen Moore goes on to a head coaching job, if the Cowboys would bring Jason Garrett back to run their offense. That'd be great. Here's Chris in Bridgewater. Chris, what's up?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up?
Initially, when I heard Dan Quinn's name, I kind of was like, okay, but now the more I sit with it and think about it, I really don't want him here.
There you go.
I like the idea of bringing in Flores and bringing in a GM that will kind of pair with him. Not quite sure if Watson's a legit possibility to come here. But I would try and steer clear from Dan Quinn now that I think about it. But
listen, there's a direct path from today to the playoffs, and it's a rare opportunity to have such a direct path after a four-win year. It's so simple to me, it'd be asinine not to do it. Brian Flores, Deshaun Watson, 10 wins minimum. Done.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's so complicated about it.
Well, do you need Brian Flores to have to trade for Deshaun Watson?
I think you might.
I mean, if he wants out of Houston so bad, and we had the same discussion with the Jets.
He might.
He would probably want to come here either way. I'm sure he has preferences, but he really doesn't have that much power.
Here's the deal.
He doesn't have a full trade like Russell Wilson
does. Here's what I know. Brian Flores wants him.
Yeah,
well, I don't know about any other candidate. I like whoever else they might hire.
Craig.
They
may not want him. In fairness, the legal issues aside,
yeah.
Which is, I know it's tough to do because how do you just put them aside? Why would anyone not want a top five quarterback in the NFL? Which, in my opinion, he is. A top seven quarterback. I went through this on Saturday. Either way, he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think any head coach would want that because you know in the NFL you need a quarterback to win. So I wouldn't look. Look, I want Brian Flores not because of Deshaun Watson. I want Brian Flores because I think he's a really good head coach. At least that's my impression from the 3 years of getting to watch him down in Miami. I think he changes things. I like the fact that he's a New Yorker. I admit that's a factor. He gets it. I think he's going to understand, not fake understand, he's going to understand what New Yorkers are thinking about and the expectations that they have because he's from freaking Brooklyn.
Yeah.
He's a Met fan growing up. If there's anyone who gets it, it would be Met fans. So I like Brian Flores as a coach. I wouldn't get too caught up in the Watson stuff only because, Craig, if you want Deshaun Watson, which, by the way,
well,
I agree
number one,
with you.
Deshaun's also got to say yes.
And you have to decide you're comfortable with where. First of all, he doesn't have to say yes. Let me go back on that. Why does he have to say yes?
Because he has a no-trade clause.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Russell Wilson does.
So does Deshaun Watson.
He has a full no-trade?
He has a full no-trade clause.
He can reject anywhere?
He can reject anywhere he wants to go.
My apologies.
No worries. It's all good.
But will he reject the Giants?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Even though I'm wrong about the no-trade,
yeah.
If you don't think he's going to reject getting out of Houston.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of locations he'd probably say yes to because he wants to get out of Houston.
I think at this point, having missed an entire year of football, other than maybe where, I don't know.
Jackson.
He's
well,
saying yes
Trevor
to
Lawrence.
Everything.
Okay,
because he wants to play.
Even though I'm wrong about the no trade, yeah. I'm right. The coach really won't matter if you're willing to make the package to make a deal like that happen. I just want a head coach that I'm confident can be that guy.
So
and I'm
the
concerned
deal.
Dan Quinn is a Kyle Shanahan creation.
That's fine. The deal also is if you assume that most coaches or prospective coaches feel the way most Giant fans feel about Daniel Jones, that he's not a franchise quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your big shot to be a GM and be a head coach in New York.
Right.
You know, the success is important, quick success, because you want to cement yourself as a competent guy who's going to be here for the long haul. Well, the easiest way to do that is by getting a star quarterback. We all know that.
Right.
Whether it's Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, whomever it is. I'm not going to pretend to know all the kids in the draft. I don't. But let's assume, based on what we've all read, there isn't a guaranteed blue chipper in this particular draft. Maybe a kid turns out to be great. I'm not going to pretend to follow every kid I've never heard of. I don't. But I know about Watson. And to me, a franchise that has admittedly lost their fan base, an owner who publicly said, I got to re-earn the fan base's respect, and that's not going to happen overnight. I can tell you why it's going to happen a lot quicker for you. And what will be interesting is
Watson's not going to be a universal, even though I agree with you, I don't think that's going to be a universal yes from Giant fans.
You don't?
No.
Oh, I do.
I think
you'll have the Giant fans who will look at the accusations.
Not just that.
But as a player, I mean, if you're a Giant fan that doesn't want him as a player, you're dumb.
It's not just that. And again, I disagree. I want to make that clear. There are going to be a lot of Giant fans who are going to say, I'm not giving up the picks and the assets that it's going to take.
I think
there were Jets fans who said the exact same thing a year ago.
And I think you'd agree with me. That's ridiculous.
I do agree. Yeah. I've always said, get me the franchise quarterback. The accusations against him, the lawsuits against him, that's a different story.
Yeah.
That's a tough one that an owner of an NFL team and a GM, sure, have to make a decision on. As far as a talent's concerned, yeah, I would trade multiple draft picks, like I said a year ago. But as you remember a year ago with Jet fans, and the same will happen with Giant fans, there are going to be fans who say, we have to fix the offensive line. They don't care how Kansas City fixed their offensive
right.
line, as I just laid out to you. They're going to say, I need as many picks as possible. The team's got a lot of holes. We can't do it.
All right.
Disagree, but there will be plenty of Giants fans saying that.
And for those people, that's great. I enjoy watching Daniel Jones play quarterback next year. And by the way, you know, you're entitled to feel that way. We disagree with it. I'm looking for a quick fix that also stands the test of time. So you can, what I mean by that is, I can fix it right now.
Right.
And my fix is not a Band-Aid. My fix is going to give you 10 years.
No, I get it. And look, if you look around the league at the successful teams, the sustainable successful teams, they have a tag team. They have a quarterback, head coach, tag team.
Right.
That's how we're going to get to that land. The Buffalo Bills figured it out, and none of us thought it at the time, let's admit it, with a tag team of Sean McDermott and Josh Allen.
Yep.
And that's the dream. So
it
that's
is.
Why when I hear the name Dan Quinn, I got to tell you, I don't see the tag team.
I really wish the Giants had announced that they were looking to get permission to interview Kellen Moore. I would have appreciated that more. But the fact that they, A, wanted to talk to Dan Quinn, and B, asked for permission before hiring a GM, just reeks of same old, same old.
No.
I don't like you one little bit. I'll tell you something else.
No.
I don't think Giant fans necessarily, other than maybe a very specific candidate. Like, if there's a candidate you don't love, how do I say this properly? Like, wouldn't you rather have a guy that you think is like the quarterback whisperer as opposed to a defensive, more minded guy? Like, when you look at the Giants' needs, right?
Yeah, but the problem with that is, and I tend to agree with you, Pat Shurmur had Case Keenum having great success.
Right.
He was a quarterback whisperer. And to his credit, he did a very good job with Daniel Jones. What kind of head coach is Pat Shurmur?
He was not a good one.
So while I get what you're saying, I want a real head coach. I want Sean McVay. I want Sean McDermott. Right. I want Kyle Shanahan. I want Andy. You know what I want. Yeah, That's what every fan base wants.
And to be fair, the New York Jets did try that, and that did not work out well either with Adam Gase. He was supposed to be the quarterback.
He was, quote, coaching to where offense was going.
Yeah.
That's what I was told.
Thanks, Peyton. Good job on that.
Yeah.
Someone should remind Peyton Manning about that on a Manning cast.
If we ever had Peyton Manning on the show.
If someone, like one of the guests, like they're always busting the guest balls. Wouldn't it be great once if Eli said to Peyton or one of the guests said, hey, Peyton, I want to read a quote to you.
Yes.
You know, said this about Adam Gase.
If we ever had Peyton Manning or Roger Clemens on the show, before we say hello, and maybe the interview doesn't go well,
Roger
Clemens. Really give a rat's ass. The first thing I'm saying to Peyton Manning is, hey, how about Adam Gase? Good job. The first thing I'm saying to Roger Clemens is, why the hell did you throw a bat at Mike Piazza? That's it.
No, that's not the appropriate first question.
I don't give a damn.
I mean, he already answered that question.
No,
I thought it was a ball.
That was 21 years ago.
Did he think it was a ball?
When he fielded it, he did.
Stop.
And then when he caught a bat, he decided to just get the bat the hell out of there.
Oh, whatever. Yeah. He needs to be pressed about the bat incident. He's never been pressed about it.
I think he answered it. I thought it was a ball. I realized it was a bat, I wanted to get it off the field. It's dangerous.
Open and shut. But you're right, though. Peyton Manning comes on. First thing.
Peyton, talk to me about Adam Gase.
So what the hell did you see in Adam Gase? Did he make a mean cup of coffee or something, Peyton? Is that why you felt the need to ruin my franchise?
It reminds me of when when Bill Walton came on our show and said, Mike D'Antoni is the greatest offensive mind in the history of basketball.
Right.
And we're like, have you watched the Knicks?
He wasn't that far off.
Watched the Knicks?
Mike D'Antoni is one of the all-time brilliant offensive minds. I apologize, but it's
true. He's still here. I know.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.